There's a Midrash Tanchuma in this week's parsha, which Rashi. It appears in Chazal in a number of places. It appears in Chazal. It's a Mechilta, and it's a Midrash Tanchuma, and it's a Psikta, and it's quoted by Rashi. However, as we'll see, there's an interesting difference textually between the way in which this Maamar Chazal is brought both in the Midrash Tanchuma and in the Yalkut, and the way in which this Maamar Chazal, a Midrash Chazal, is brought in the Psikta. The Pasuk says, "B'chidish ha-shlishi lotzeis b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim." It was in the third month after Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim. And the Midrash Tanchuma and the Yalkut Shimoni are aimed on the language of the Pasuk. The Pasuk, when referring to the third month, the Pasuk uses the word Chodesh, which means month. However, says the Midrash, there is another word which is normally used in the Torah and in Tanakh to indicate month, and that's the word Yerech. The Pasuk doesn't say B'Yerech HaShlishi in the third month using the word Yerech, but the Pasuk uses the word Chodesh. And then the Midrash continues, and the Midrash brings a series of places where the Torah is referring to the concept of a month, and the Torah uses not the word Yerech, not the word Chodesh, but the word Yerech. So why here, say Chazal, does the Torah use the word Chodesh? Elo b'Chodesh HaShlishi, the reason why the word Chodesh is used here in the Pasuk, is to tell me something, say Chazal. What does it come to tell me? Amalei Makadosh Baruch Hu, the Ribbono Shelolam said, Chidush Dvarim Ani Oisa Umechadesh Eschem. I'm making here a Chidush. I'm being Mechadesh something. I'm renewing something. I'm making something anew. And because the Torah is trying to get across the message that something new was being done here, therefore, the Torah uses the word Chodesh, the root of the word Chodesh being Chodosh, new. Why is a month called a Chodesh? Because every month starts off with a new moon. So therefore, the word Chodesh indicates renewal. What was the renewal that took place here? What happened here anew that wasn't beforehand? And here starts the Maamar Chazal, which in fact Rashi quotes on a later pasuk. Kishiyotzu Yisrael min Mitzrayim, when Klal Yisrael left Egypt, hayu bohem, there were amongst them sumim, blind people, chelshim, people who couldn't speak, v'chigrim, and people who were lame. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ribbono Shelolam said, HaTorah kula shleimahi, Torah is shalem, Torah is complete. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Torah is Hashem Tamima. Torah is perfect. Etein oisa l'dor hazeh. Should I give Torah to this generation which is imperfect, has amongst them people who have mumim? V'yesh bohem bali mumim. There are amongst Klal Yisrael bali mumim. Amtin, I'll wait. Ad sheyamdu b'neihem, until all these people die out, and then there'll be a new generation which will have people who don't have mumim, and then I'll give Torah to that new generation. Said HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I can't do that. Why? Because ani ma'acher b'simcha shel Torah. Then I'll be delaying the simcha of giving the Torah. Ma'os HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so what did the Ribbono Shelolam do? Ripa Aisam, he cured them. They all miraculously got cured. Venasan Lahem is a Torah, and he gave to them Torah. Uminayin Sheripa Aisam. How do we know that the Ribbono Shel'Olam cured everybody at the time of Matan Torah? Say Chazal, that we see it clearly from the Pasuk. The Psukim say, Mi Shehaya Suma, the Pasuk tells us that somebody who was blind suddenly started seeing, Hayareya. Shenema, what's the Pasuk? And it's on this Pasuk that Rashi brings this Medrash, V'chol ha'om ro'im es ha'kailis. So if they saw, obviously they weren't blind. Umi shehaya cheresh, and somebody who was deaf, na'aseh shemeya, suddenly heard. How do we know that people who are deaf suddenly heard? Shenema, because the Pasuk says, kol asher dibar Hashem, na'aseh v'nishma. So if the Pasuk says the Klal Yisrael said Naaseh v'nishma, that they heard, then obviously all the people who were deaf must have miraculously been cured. Oh, Misha, Hayach Yigel, somebody who was lame, Naaseh Sholem, became cured. How do we know this? Shenema, because the Pasuk says, Vayis Yatzvu b'tachtis ha'ho. They all stood firmly underneath the mountain. Hari chidush dvorim achadish lachem. This is what the Pasuk means when the Pasuk says, B'chaydish Ashlishi, B'chaydish Miloshen Chiddush, the Ribbono Shel Olam was renewed. In other words, he recreated, as it were, everybody. Those who were Bali and Mumin became miraculously cured. Now, the fact that there are Bali and Mumin in the world is part of the Teva of the Bria, right? It's a Messias which we can't change and we can't remove. There are, unfortunately, children that are born, and a certain percentage of children that are born in the world are born with some type of physical defect. That's a Messias. There are, unfortunately, people born who are blind, and there are people who are born who are deaf, and there are people who are born who are missing a certain limb and therefore can't walk properly. Right? There are motoric problems that people have. It's a Messias in the world, and sometimes these situations are unfortunately incurable, and all that's left for us to do is that we have to look after, to the best of our ability, these people, and to ensure that a child that's born, Rahman al-Islam, with some sort of physical disability, right, should be able to cope with life to the best of his capacity, to the best of his ability. Why this happens? That's one of the Nistorim of the Bria. Human beings don't understand what the design of the Ribbono Shel Olam is, why the Ribbono Shel Olam creates individuals in the world who have some sort of physical defect, right? It's something which we don't know about it. Now, besides that, there are people who are not born with a physical defect, but there are people who, in the course of their life, get some sort of physical defect because of something that happens to them during life. There are tragedies that happen, there are accidents that happen, which sometimes everybody involved is blameless. You can't put the blame on somebody, and sometimes there are acts of crime which cause also physical disability in somebody, which maybe you could put the blame on somebody, but so what? At the end of the day, somebody has to suffer, and there's not much we can do about it. When Klal Yisrael left Egypt, there were a tremendous amount of Balei Mumim amongst them, because besides those who, you know, the average percentage of children that are born with a physical defect, there were also those who got their physical defect because of the Avedas Ferach that the Klal Yisrael were involved in Mitzrayim, that the Mitzrayim made them slaves and made them work in human or subhuman conditions. I mean, Chazal says, also it's a Medrash Rabbah, it's also a Medrash Tanchuma, that Kishe Yosru Yisrael in Mitzrayim, when Klal Yisrael left Egypt, Hoyu Behem Abalei Mumim, there were a lot of people who had physical defects, Me'avedas HaPerach Sh'oyoyisim B'titu B'levenim, because they were working with bricks and with cement and with building materials. And sometimes large stones fell down from the buildings that they were building. And it broke people's hands. Sometimes knocked people's legs off. Sometimes planks of wood or some other type of building material went into people's eyes, who nisman, they became blind, and therefore there were tremendous amount of balei mumin. So there were in Egypt a tremendous amount of balei mumin, and the Rebbeinu Shlom didn't want to give the Torah in when there were these balei mumin in existence, and therefore he miraculously cured everybody before he gave the Torah. Fine. Okay. Now we have an additional Maimah Chazal. There's an additional Maimah Chazal where Chazal say the following. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LiYisrael. The Ribbono Shel Olam said to Klal Yisrael, Chidush Geula Yesh Lachem. There's a chidush in the act of Geula. Ma la asid ne lavoi. Just as in the future Geula, when Mashiach comes, Nema, the pasuk says, Oz, then, when Mashiach comes, when the final Geula comes, Tipokachna einei ivrim, the eyes of the blind will see, Afkan, so too by the original Geula, namely by the Geula from Mitzrayim, V'chol ha'om ro'im es ha'kodesh ve'es ha'lapidim, everybody saw the kodesh and the lapidim, meaning even everybody who was blind got miraculously cured. Umar la'asid lovoi. And just as it says in connection with Bias HaMashiach, V'oznei chaloshim tif techena, that the ears of those who are deaf will be miraculously opened up, that those who are deaf will be cured. So to the original Gula by Maimon al Sinai, everybody was miraculously, by BTS Mitzrayim, everybody was miraculously cured. And the same way as it says by the final Gula, that everybody will jump around from joy. Right? Like a ayol who jumps around and springs around, afkan, so too it says, in the original Geula, v'yetzi Moshe so'om, v'yetzi asfu, v'tachti so'ho. Umali osid lovay, it says, vitrun loshen ilmim, that those who are dumb will become able to speak. Afkan here as well, ne'emar, it says, v'yanu kolom yachto, the entire Klal Yisrael responded, Na'aseh v'nishma, so we see that everybody was able to speak, so even the people who became dumb got miraculously cured. Now, if you compare these two midrashim, you notice something very interesting. If you put them side by side, lichura, it appears that they're both trying to give us the same message, right? Basically, the message is the same, that anybody who was physically handicapped at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim was miraculously cured. And this is the Chiddush Dvarim that the Ribbono Shel Olam was Machadesh at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim and of Matan Torah. However, if you examine these two Midrashim closely, you'll see that there are a couple of basic differences between the two Midrashim. In the first Midrash, which was in the Tanchuma and is in the Yalkut, the Medrash only talks about Yetzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah. It doesn't mention the future Geula when Mashiach comes, and it doesn't compare in any way whatsoever the Geula of Mitzrayim to the Geula, which is the Nevuah of Yishayahu ben Amoitz, which is quoted in the second Chazal, which is a quote from the Psikta. In the second Chazal, all the miraculous cures that took place at the time of Matan Torah are compared to the miraculous cures that will take place at the time of Mashiach. In addition, the second Maimer Chazal doesn't talk about the fact that Torah couldn't be given to Balei Mumin. Doesn't mention that at all. Which, in the first Maimer Chazal, in the Medrash Tanchuma, is the starting point of the whole thing. That the Ribbono Shel Olam said, I can't give Torah, which is Tamima, which is perfect, to a people, which has amongst them those who are physically imperfect, and I don't want to wait around because I don't want to delay the Simcha of Matan Torah. Therefore, I'm going to have to cure everybody. This is not mentioned at all in the second Maimah Chazal. And thirdly, the difference is that in the first Maimah Chazal, it mentions three types of Bali Numim. Those who are deaf, those who are blind, and those who are lame. Doesn't mention those who are dumb, can't speak. Masha'en came in the second Maimah Chazal, it adds on the fourth type of physical incapacity, namely people who can't, Rahman al-Islam, speak. So why are there these differences, and what are these differences trying to indicate? Now, as we said, Chazal tell us that there were a large number of individuals at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim who were physically incapacitated, right? They had physical deficiencies. But besides those who were physically deficient, there were also a large number of individuals who were spiritually deficient as well. It wasn't only physical Balei Mum that existed at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, but there were also spiritually deficient people around at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Pasuk says, V'lein, Pasuk in not in Sefer Shemos, but in Sefer Devarim, V'lein nosan lachem Hashem, that the Ribbono Shelolam didn't give you when you were in Mitzrayim, leiv l'da'as, a leiv, a heart, l'da'as, to understand, ve'einayim lirois, and eyes to see, ve'oznayim lishmoya, and ears to hear. And that pasuk is not referring to physical re'iya and shmiya, because the pasuk also talks about people who are chaserei da'as, people who don't have das, and chaserei das, right, there are plenty of them, believe me. There are plenty chaserei das who also have eyes, can see, and can hear, but they are chaserei das. There are plenty of them around. So here we're talking about a shmia and a re'ia, which is connected to havonas halev. To understand what you are physically seeing and to understand what you are physically hearing. Because if a person doesn't have seichel, without seichel, that which he sees or that which he hears is as if he didn't see it and he didn't even hear it, because it's absolutely meaningless to him. As the Pasuk says, Ki Pasuk in Yeshayahu Anavi says, Ki toch maris einehem. The sight of your eyes is dimmed, you're not seeing properly. Why? May haskil libaisom, because you're not understanding, and if you don't understand, you don't see. That means that if a person can't understand what he's actually seeing, it's as if his eyes are dimmed and as if he's not seeing at all. And if you don't understand what you're hearing, then it's as if you didn't hear anything at all. It's like hearing something in a foreign language. You hear something in a foreign language, doesn't help you if you don't understand it. The guy's talking to you in Turkish, right? And your command of the Turkish language is somewhat limited, right? Then what does it help you that the guy is talking to you? The Shmia and the Ria and that Pasuk in Dvarim is, as we said, referring to not the physical hearing and seeing, but more the understanding. And people who are missing or lacking understanding of what they see and what they hear are the biggest Balei Mumim. That's worse than a physical deficiency. A physical deficiency, we can find, especially in today's day and age, a lot of ways around it. Right? Unfortunately, they haven't as yet created something which would solve major problems in this yeshiva, i.e. brain transplants. Right? They don't exist. Therefore, if a person hasn't got seichel to understand what he's seeing and to understand what he's hearing, he is the ultimate bal klum, bal mum. A tnai kodim lemaisa, in other words, a precondition of Matan Torah, Matan Torah only has meaning if Matan Torah is based on belief in the Ribbono Shel Olam, belief in the Nosan HaTorah, and belief in Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the Navi, the Ne'eman Beisai, the person who brought basically Torah to Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu, Torah's Emes Nasan Liyamei Kel, through Moshe Rabbeinu, the Ribbono Shel Olam gave Torah to Klal Yisrael. The Gemara in Makkos quotes, the famous Gemara quotes Rav Simloi. The Rav Simloi says there are Tariag mitzvahs in Torah. There are 613 mitzvahs in Torah. And the Gemara continues, and the Gemara says, even though there are 613 mitzvahs in Torah, David HaMelech, Yishayo HaNovi, and Micha, Hemidu Oysan Alachadisre, they said that basically you can define all the 600, sorry? Micha. You can define the 613 mitzvahs, if you want to distill the 613 mitzvahs, you can bring them down to basically 11 concepts. And then the Gemara continues, David HaMelech said 11, and then Yishayo said 6, and then Micha said 3. Right? You can bring them down to either 11 concepts, or 6 concepts, or 3 concepts. And then the Gemara says, no, you can actually bring them down to 2 concepts, namely Mishpat Utstoka, meaning justice, fairness, what I suppose in the modern day and age would be called humanitarianism, right? Being humane. And then, says the Gemara, Habakkuk came, v'hemidon al achas, and he said basically the entire 613 mitzvahs revolve around one concept. And what is that concept? The tzaddik, that the righteous person, be'emunosa yichya, lives on the basis of emuna, and the whole 613 mitzvahs revolve around the basis of emuna. What does the Gemara mean? What's the Gemara trying to say here? Yes, the purpose of Torah and the purpose of mitzvahs is that a person should eventually end up with Chaya Olam Habo. True. And it's true that there is a purpose and an objective in the mitzvahs in order that the individual should get Olam Habo. But besides that, says the Gemara, the objective and the purpose of Torah and mitzvahs is in order that the world should be a world of tzedek u'mishpat. That the world should be a world of fairness, of righteousness, and the world should be a world of justice. And tzedek and mishpat is the foundation of human society. Man can't comfortably exist in a world which is a world of anarchy. In order that man should be able to exist comfortably in the world, it has to be a world where society is based on a system of justice and on a system of fairness. And therefore, if the world is fair and if the world is just, there's no reason for people to fight. Right? People only fight because there is a hargosha, there is a feeling of something being unfair or something being unjust. Therefore, the Torah, Drachea Dachei Noyam V'chol Nesivosei HaShalom, the whole purpose of Torah is in order to create Shalom. The whole purpose of Torah is in order to create a society, in order to create an environment which the society is a society which is based on Tzedek and Mishpat. And the 11 basic principles, the 6 basic principles, the 3 basic principles, the 2 basic principles, right? The way in which they were distilling all the Tariag mitzvahs and bringing it down was basically because they worked out that all the 613 mitzvahs, in one way or another way, revolve around inyonim of Bein Adam L'Chaveroi. Even those mitzvahs, which we believe are far removed from anything at all to do with Bein Adam L'Chaveroi, Dovr HaMelech, Yishayahu, Micha, right? They all worked out. No, you can actually distill down all the mitzvahs and you will see that there is a theme, right? And the theme is a theme which surrounds the concept of Ben Adam L'Chaveroi. In other words, the entire Torah basically revolves around V'ahavta l'recha kamecha, right? As indeed, right, Hillel, when he was asked by the girl, what, sum me up Torah in one sentence, what did he answer him? He answered him, V'ahavta l'recha kamecha, basically. He answered him, justice. Don't do to the other guy what you don't want that they should do to you, right? That's the whole basis of Torah. And that's why the Torah demands from us asos mishpat, v'avas chesed. However, along came Habakkuk, and Habakkuk said, no, there's one more stage. And the one more stage is that even the mitzvahs which are based on v'ahavta l'recha kamecha, even the mitzvahs which you believe are totally Bein Adam L'Chaveroi mitzvahs, you have to understand that without emuna in the Ribbono Shel Olam, without belief in God, there is no tzedek and there is no mishpat in the world. There is no such thing as v'ahavta l'recha kamecha. And that's what Rav Simlai said. Rav Simlai said, Bok Habakkuk, Habakkuk came, and Habakkuk was Mechadish, that, forget it, the 11 principles of Ahavta L'Recha Kamecha, the 6 principles of Ahavta L'Recha Kamecha, the 3 principles of Ahavta L'Recha Kamecha, the 2 principles of Tzedek and Mishpat, which are also Ahavta L'Recha Kamecha, Be'etzem, they all stem from one place. And the one place is, Shenema, the Tzedek Be'emunosa Yichya. Because all this relies and depends on emuna. Because at the end of the day, if there's no belief in God, then there is no justice, and there is no fairness, and there is no absolute, and there is no objectivity. It's impossible for a society to be a society of tzedek and mishpat unless the society is dependent upon emuna b'Hashem. And the society is dependent upon God-given divine law. Because the only law that can be objective and can be absolute fairness is divine law. One of the great English legalists once said, and wrote one of his books, right? The man who was the chairman of the Supreme Court in England, right? It's not called that in England. The English have very archaic names for everything, going back to, who knows when, 1100. In England he's called, don't ask me why, and it's nothing to do with the bakery, but he's called Master of the Rolls. There was a guy by the name of Lord Reynolds. Lord Reynolds was a deeply religious guy, in the sense that a lot of his, if you want to call it that, lahavdul psokim, a lot of his things were very based a lot on a religious understanding. So Lord Reynolds writes somewhere that every single legal system, right, is based on making a pshara, on compromise. Every legal system is compromised. And he says, I'll give you a classic example. Every legal system has employers. Every society has employers and has employees, right? When you're trying to legislate social law, employment law, the legislator is under a tremendous amount of pressure. There's a pressure from the workers that the law should be in their favor, and there's pressure from the employees that the law should be in their favor. Right, the trade unions are pressurizing from one side, you've got union pressure from one side, and then you've got owner pressure from the other side. The legal system cannot do anything but find a middle position which won't annoy the trade unions too much and won't annoy the employers too much. The only system of employment law that can be totally objective, right, without favoring one side or the other, and totally independent of any type of pressure whatsoever in terms of how it's going to legislate, is divine law. Because God, by definition, is objective. Divinity is the ultimate in objectiveness by definition. Therefore, only divine law is the only law which will actually be totally tzedek and totally mishpat. And therefore, the whole basis of tzedek and mishpat only works if it's based on tzadik ben menusa yichya. Why does the pasuk use the phrase tzadik ben menusa yichya? Why doesn't it say chosid ben menusa yichya? Why doesn't it say Yosha be'emunasei yichya? There's a Medrash Tanchuma. The Medrash Tanchuma says in Parshas Noach, Shnei b'nei Adam nikru tzadikim. There were two people in the world who the Torah describes them as being tzadikim. Noach is described in the Torah as being a tzadik, and Yosef is being described in the Torah as being a tzadik. Says the Medrash, say Chazal, why is it that only Noach and Yosef are called tzaddikim? Says the Medrash, al shezonu es habriyos. Noach and Yosef had one common factor between them, namely, both of them supplied food for people. Yosef supplied food for the entire world at the time, and Noach supplied food for who? The people inside the and the animals inside the teva. So what we see from here, that Chazal are coming along and Chazal are telling us, what does the word tzaddik represent? Somebody who is teva labrios. Somebody whose personality is such that he's amazing, that he does good things for other people. Ein ala nikra tzaddik ela im kain hu teiv, says the Yalkut. And that's what Habakkuk said. A tzaddik is teiv labrios. A tzaddik is the ultimate in bein adam lechaveroi. But why is he the ultimate in bein adam lechaveroi? Be'emunas ayichya. Because he's a maimin in the Rebbeinu Shlom, therefore he can be a ultimate in bein adam lechaveroi. Chazal tell us on this week's parsha. And Chazal say the following strange expression. Listen to what Chazal say. Keitzad nitnu aseres hadibris. How were the aseres hadibris given? Chamisha al luach ze, five on one tablet, the chamisha al luach ze, and five on the other tablet. In order, say Chazal, that it should come out, that where on the one tablet it said, Onoiche Hashem Aleikecha, on the other tablet it said, Loi Siltach. Parallel. What was the kasha here of Chazal? What were Chazal asking? So I once saw a beautiful pshat in what Chazal are asking here. Somebody said pshat in this in the following way. There's a medrash, and the medrash says that if you take all the words in the Aseres HaDibros until the words Asher L'Re'echo, and you add up all the letters, the sum total is 613. There are 613 letters in the Aseres HaDibros until you get to the words Asher L'Re'echo. The words Asher L'Re'echo, in the word Asher there are three letters, and in the word L'Re'echo there are four letters. So it comes out, says the Medrash the following. Taryag Oisiyos Min Anoichi Ad Asher Le'Reecha. There are 613 Oisiyos in the Torah until the words Asher Le'Reecha. And then say Chazal, Amaramas Keneged Taryag Mitzvahs. And then there's another seven letters in the two words Asher Le'Reecha, which are Maramas to the seven mitzvahs, the Sheva mitzvahs, B'nai Noach. Which means that you've got 613 plus 7, which means that how many letters do you have in the entire Aseres HaDibros? 620. Because 613 plus 7 is 620. It so happens that the gematria of Keser is 620, because as well as the Dibros are the Keser of Torah. The sum total of letters in the Aseres HaDibros are 620. Therefore, if you're going to split the Aseres HaDibros on two tablets, then if you want to divide it equally, what you ought to say to yourself is that there should be on each tablet 310 letters. Then it's going to work out that they're equal. However, if you count up the letters on the five first Dibros, which were on the first tablet, as opposed to the second five Dibros, which are on the second tablet, you're going to find that there are much more letters on the first tablet than there are on the second tablet. To which Chazal say, Ketzad nitnu Aseres HaDibros. What was the logic in splitting up the Aseres HaDibros in this way? Why were they written in this way? Why weren't they written that the amount of letters on the first tablet should equal the amount of letters on the second tablet, in which case the whole thing will be graphically beautiful? Right? Be symmetrical. Answer Chazal, that there was a special reason why Chamisha Dibros had to be written on one tablet and Chamisha Dibros had to be written on the second tablet. What was the reason? In order that parallel to Anoichi Hashem Elokecha should be the love of Lo Sirtach. What's that coming to teach us? That the only way society is going to be able to be a just and fair society, which includes the love of Lo Sirtach, where people won't be running around murdering each other, is only if it's a society which is built on Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. Because that's the whole point. The whole point of the world is that the world should be a world of Tzedek u'Mishpat. But there is no way in which the world can be a world of Tzedek u'Mishpat if the Lo Tirtzach is not based on Emunah, on the Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. And this concept that only if there is a belief in God does the social law that exists in Torah, do the halachas that exist in Torah, does the ve'ahavta l'reicha kamecha that exists in Torah have any validity, has to be a prerequisite to Kabbalah Satira. And that's why before Matan Torah there were all the Isis and Mephsim that the Ribbono Shel'Olam showed Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim. Because they were Katnei Emunah. As Chazal say, that the Avodah Kasha blinded them. They couldn't see clearly the Yad Hashem and everything. They couldn't hear the continuous buzzkill that's going on in everyday life. and therefore there had to be the great Nisim, right? Leishamu le Moshe, Mikaitse Ruach HaMavidikosh, and before Shapasa, they couldn't hear Moshe Rabbeinu because of their involvement in the Aved of Ferach that there was in Mitzrayim. Say Chazal, Hoyakosha Beinehem, Lifresh Me Aved Zorah Shabiyodom. It was difficult for them to get rid of the Aved Zorah of Mitzrayim because they were Shakua in the Tumah of Aved Zorah, and that stopped them from hearing Moshe Rabbeinu. Therefore, the Rishon had to pack in Nisim and Iflois and Isis and Moifsim in order to renew within them Emunah in the Ribbono Shel Olam. If so, these two Midrashim make sense. The first Midrash starts off and says that the Ribbono Shel Olam couldn't give Torah to Bali Munim because the Torah is Shleima, as it says, Torah is Hashem Tmima. Why is Torah, why can't Torah be given to a people who are Balei Mumim? If it's a physical defect, then what does that disturb Torah? Tomim. Tomim Tiyem Hashem HaKecha is referring to physical disabilities. Therefore, when it says Teres Hashem Tvima, it's got nothing to do with physical perfection. And what did the Rebbeinu Shlom mean when the Rebbeinu Shlom said, I will wait until there will be a generation which will be without any physical defects, and then I'll give Torah? No, I can't do that because I don't want to delay the simcha of Torah. As we said, the Metzius of the Bria is that there are people who are born in the Bria that who are Balei Mumim. And therefore, what would it help anyway to wait until the next generation is born? There's a certain percentage of people who are born who are Balei Mumim. The next generation is going to have Balei Mumim as well. Elamai, what are you going to tell me? That the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to make a miracle that the second next generation is going to be born against the Chukei HaTeva, against the laws of nature, and they're going to be born a whole generation without any Mumim, without any Psul. Then that's the biggest mess, right, that's going to happen, because anything which takes place which is against the laws of nature is a mess. So therefore, what's the difference between that and doing the mess now? LMI, what are you going to say? That because there were a large number of people who were injured in the Avodas Perach, right, so therefore, the next generation, even if you're going to say statistically, they're going to be Malei Mumin, they're going to be less Balei Mumin. Okay, fine, so if they waited another generation, it would lessen the percentage. But it wouldn't create an entire generation without any difficult, without any physical defect whatsoever. Obviously, when Chazal say that the entire Klal Yisrael were cured, it means Pshutei K'mashmoi, that there was a Refuas Haguf Mamish and all the Balei Mumim in that generation, whether it was those who were born Balei Mumim, whether it was those who became Balei Mumim because of the Avodas Perach, right? All of them were miraculously cured, and we find this in Chazal darshan this. They say kulach yofar ayosi umum aimboch, right, is referring to that generation, and that's what the second maimer Chazal that we quoted is talking about. The second maimer Chazal is talking about the physical defects, and therefore the second Maimah Chazal doesn't talk about the Ribbono, doesn't mention the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam said, I can't give Torah because there are Balei Mumin here, and therefore I have to wait. No, I won't wait because it's going to be Ma'akev the Simcha of. He doesn't talk about that at all. Why? Because there he's talking about physical defects. Physical defects, waiting is not going to help at all. The only reason why the Ribbono Shel Olam didn't want to give Klal Yisrael, give Torah to a Klal Yisrael who had amongst them defects, and the Ribbono Shel Olam miraculously cured Klal Yisrael, was a, not because physical defects in any way are ma'akev the giving of the Torah. It was just simply a gesture on the part of the Ribbono Shel Olam. In the same way, says the second Medrash, as the Ribbono Shel Olam says that when Mashiach comes, all those who have some sort of physical defect will be cured. So why? A Mashiach can't come if the people are walking around with a physical defect? The answer is no. The Ribbono Shel Olam does this. The Ribbono Shel Olam very often does nisim to Klal Yisrael, not because the nes is a necessity, but because the nes is a gesture. It's one of the ways in which the Ribbono Shel Olam portrays. It's one of the ways in which the Ribbono Shel Olam articulates his ava to Klal Yisrael. Reb Chaim Shemevitz used to say that there are nisim which we see that are done, and he used to call it zakush from the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's a kiss. But a kiss is nothing. It's just a symbol. It's an expression of ahava. Zakush from the Ribbono Shel Olam. When Ribbono Shel Olam showed Avraham Avinu the whole of Eretz Yisrael, and he said, look, Yomo, Kedmo, Tzfeino, Venegbo, Rashi says, it was an S. He didn't have to turn his head. He looked in one direction, and he had a multi-vision, and he saw all the four sides. Says Reb Chaim Shemevitz, and why do we need the nes? And who cares if from Avraham Avinu for 2 seconds is after going to look right, left, forward, back? And what's going to happen? Says Reb Chaim, gol nicht. Nothing. So why did the Ribbono Shel Olam do the nes? Sakush from the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's a way in which the Ribbono Shel Olam showed his ava to Avraham Avinu. Yosef gets sent down to Mitzrayim. He's sold as a slave by his brothers. He's being kidnapped by a group of Arabs. Normally these Arabs would be carrying schayra on their camels, which would have some sort of bad smell. Say, Chazal, what did the Ribbono Shel Olam do? They made a nes. What was the nes? That they were carrying perfumes. Why? In order that Yosef should have a pleasant trip to Mitzrayim. Says from Chaim Shmulevitz, Doset Emes Gefeld. That's all he was missing. Here you've got this little kid who's been kidnapped and has been taken away by strange Arabs to a foreign country. That's what he really cares about. Whether on the camel that he's traveling it smells good or it doesn't smell good. That's what worries him. So why did Ribbono Shel Olam have to make such a mess? Says Reb Chaim Menachem, he didn't have to make such a mess. It's a kush from the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's a gesture. It's Ribbono Shel Olam showing his ava. The physical defects of Klal Yisrael were not in any way an ikuv in Matan Torah, and in no way are they an ikuv of Mashiach coming. It's a kush from the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what the second Medrash is talking about. And therefore the Medrash tries to list as many of the defects as it can think of. It's all part of the kush. It's all part of the kiss of the Ribbono Shel Olam. First Medrash, that's talking about something else. First Medrash isn't talking about physical defects. First Medrash is talking about spiritual defects. The first first Medrash says, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Teira Kula Shleima Hi Shenema Teres Hashem Tmimo. Torah can only be given to somebody who's Tomim. Torah only works if he starts off with an emunah in the Ribbono Shel Olam. And therefore, says the Ribbono Shel Olam, maybe I shouldn't give Torah to this generation. Why? Because this generation has a problem. This generation has people who don't see, people who don't hear, and people who are lame. People who don't see, that we understand what spiritual defect that is. That's people who see physically, but don't chap what they're seeing. If you don't chap what you're seeing, you're not going to get the message. If you don't hear the messages that the Ribbono Shel Olam is sending you day in, day out, then you don't hear. What does lame mean? Lame, says Chazal, is a guy who's unstable. What does unstable mean? He can't stand straight. He's always moving from one side to the other. We're not talking about somebody who's physically unstable. We're talking about somebody who's spiritually unstable. One day like this, one day like that. Says, oh, yo, I know we had Masa at Tempezkim Rashday Seifim. It doesn't work. You can't jump spiritually backwards and forwards. If you're jumping backwards and forwards, if you're hopping around on one foot, if you've got one foot in Gashmias and one foot in Ruchnias, it's not going to happen. You're lame. In the same way that if you see physically but you don't understand, you can't see. And if you hear physically but you don't hear, with an understanding you don't hear. In the same way, if you're not standing firmly over here, and you're not standing firmly over here, you're not standing anywhere. Torah can't be given to people who don't see and who don't hear that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam in the world, and who at 8 o'clock in the morning understand there's Ribbono Shel Olam in the world, and at 9 o'clock don't understand there's Ribbono Shel Olam in the world. So at 8 o'clock in the morning they can be davening, so they understand there's Ribbono Shel Olam in the world. And 9 o'clock when they should be learning, they're doing something else. It's they don't understand there's Ribbono Shel Olam in the world. Because the Ribbono Shel Olam said V'gisa b'yom v'layla. The Ribbono Shel Olam said the Zechiv of Talmud Torah. So either you believe or you don't believe. Either you believe that the Ribbono Shel Olam says that you've got to sit in the Beis HaMidrash, or you don't believe. If you don't believe, then what are you doing in davening? If you do believe because you're in davening, then why aren't you in the Beis HaMidrash? There can't be a Kabbalah Sotera if you're leading a life that way. There can't be a Kabbalah Sotera if you don't see what happens to a guy if he's not learning and he's not davening. You don't have to go miles away. Just think about friends. Think about what happened to them the minute they moved out of the Beis HaMidrash. The Ribbono Shel Olam talks to us. There's a bus call going out, non-stop. It's continuously going. The Ribbono Shel Olam is telling us things. Things don't just happen. They happen because the Ribbono Shel Olam is trying to give us a message. We don't hear it. So we're not hearing. If you don't understand what's being said, then you're not hearing. It's Turkish. The guy speaking to you in a foreign language, the fact that you're physically hearing him is meaningless. There has to be a seichel and a havona in what a person is hearing. Therefore, says the Ribbono Shel Olam, this is an am which isn't hearing. This is an am which isn't seeing. This is an am which is jumping backwards and forwards. 1 minute they're screaming, Zekeilu v'amveyu, the next minute they're this, the next minute they're that. How can I give Torah to Shadur? Says Ribbono Shel Olam, so what am I going to do? I'm going to wait for the next door. Oh, but I want to give Torah. Says Ribbono Shel Olam, I'll make a miracle. In this moment, Al Sinai, in order that they should be able to be Mekabel Torah, I'm going to make sure that at this point in time, everybody has Emunah. And the Maimon Har Sinai was such, as the Pasuk says, it was impossible not to have Emunah. And once they were all cured, the Pasuk says about that generation of Maimon Har Sinai, Kulach Yofa Rayosi. It was an entirely beautiful dor, Umum Einboy, without Mumim. In Emes V'Yatziv, we say a whole series of descriptions, right? V'nochem V'kayim V'yoshev V'chov V'nechma V'meir V'yadiv V'sukum V'tkubu Toiv V'yofa. Right? The highest level. The highest level of the 15 Toyarim that one can have in terms of describing Shlemus is Yofa. So, the Metzias at Maimon Har Sinai, there was two things. There was a refuah gashmi, and what was even more important, there was a refuah ruchni. There's a message in this week's parsha. The Rebbe Shlom B'Shas Maimon Har Sinai made a ness. He made a ness that everybody was cured. Everybody was cured from the spiritual mum that they had. And therefore they were able to be Mekabel Torah. There's no way in which there can be a Kabbalah Satera if we are lame. There's no way in which there can be a Kabbalah Satera if we're trying to live in two worlds at the same time. You can't sit an entire night acting like a goy and playing cards, which in Sforim HaKadoshim is the ultimate of goyishkeit, and expect the next day to be an Eved Hashem. It doesn't work. You're lame. You're jumping around on one foot. You're Pesach HaShtei Sifim. It doesn't work. You can't be drunk like a goy at night and expect to be an Eved Hashem or to be a lame terror the next day. It doesn't work. Not because there are Isurim involved in these things. Agav that there are. Right, Masachim B'Kuvi is Pasul La'idus, right? There are halachas involved. Shikris, there are halachas involved as well. Right? Forget about that. Even without that. In the history of Am Yisrael, what were the two defining factors which were always used as being the ultimate of what a goy, a yok, is? Rabbi Yosher Ben Soloveitchik of Boston says in one of his Ma'amorim that Jewish folklore didn't come out of nowhere. Yiddish expressions didn't come out of nowhere. They're all based on Makaris. When there are Yiddishisms, they didn't just appear. They are part and parcel of the tradition of Judaism. The ultimate description in the eyes of the Jew from Maimon Har Sinai ad Etzem HaYom Hazeh is two things: es shikah v'agoy and es shpilt koton v'agoy. He's shikah like a goy and he plays cards like a goy, because that's the ultimate in what is considered to be the antithesis of Yiddishkeit. It doesn't work. It doesn't go together. The guy can't turn around and say, and come with a tiny to the Ribbono Shel Olam, why is it that it's not working? Why is it that my davening is not a davening, and why is it that my learning is not a learning? The answer is very simple. Because it all depends on what happened before. You can't be a goy at night and an elach yid by day.